Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
And welcome back, everybody. It's time for us to get into our conversation on biblical women who inspire. And joining us on the line is Evangelist Ruth Peary to speak to us about these women. My sister, good morning and welcome back once again to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
A wonderful morning to you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for joining us once again. I hope you're doing well today.
Doing fine.
Great, great. Happy to hear
it's wonderful
that.
Wonderful weather in town.
Absolutely, absolutely. So the Bible is filled with stories of remarkable women who demonstrated faith and courage and wisdom, from Esther's bravery to Ruth's loyalty. And we know that those two will always come up anytime we talk about biblical women.
Mm-hmm.
We know
yes,
Esther and
yes.
Ruth will be a part of that. And their lives continue to inspire Christians to this very day. So how can we draw lessons from their stories to navigate modern challenges while staying rooted in God's word? So in our conversation today, we're going to uncover timeless truths from these extraordinary women of faith. And of course, listeners, you are invited to engage with us as well and let us know which women in the Bible inspire you, what part of their stories inspire you. We'd love to hear from you on +27 734 703 520. Now, Sister Ruth, what qualities of Esther's leadership and bravery can inspire modern Christians?
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for that question. And you know, like you say, there is so much inspiration that we can draw from these women.
Yeah.
No wonder they appear in the Bible.
Yes.
I mean, because like the book of Esther, even though God is not mentioned, and yet when you look at Esther, there are so many wonderful attributes that she displays, or rather what is drawn out of her character for us as modern kitty women to emulate.
Yeah.
She has many good qualities, but let me just mention maybe two or three.
Okay.
Esther was good at communication.
Mm-hmm.
I think she was an excellent communicator, from her relationship with her uncle to the time that she becomes queen and achieves what she managed to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
Because coming from the background that we know of, she really shouldn't have been queen,
yeah.
as we know.
Yeah.
But because she expressed herself so well, even Uncle Mordecai, when he came to tell her that, who knows, maybe you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this, she responded with that eloquence. And when she was being prepared to become queen, look at her humility.
Yeah.
Yes, she had an advantage, because really Mordecai was preparing her for that role. But she remained humble. And in her communication with her uncle, she expressed all the emotions that she felt, her fears, even her courage. And when she became queen, mm-hmm. look at the way she's communicating with the king. When she wanted to meet the king, she stated her fact. And she did the unthinkable. She went before the king, even before, she actually risked going before the king.
Mm-hmm.
And because she needed to communicate.
Yeah.
Most of us in modern times, if there is something fearful or our lives are at risk, we may not even venture into that that project, thinking, it's too much risk. I'm putting my life at risk. But look at this girl. She just puts her life at risk to be able to communicate a strategy that she's going to and that's one thing also. She was a wonderful strategist. But she put this across. And then also, she communicated with those who would help her. So again, there is another quality I admire. She was willing to work for others. She would have said she would fast alone, but she asked for help from other people who had the same vision that she had, because she had explained fully the strategy that she's using, that she was going to save, her people. And she communicated, and she was part of that. She didn't say you fast. She said all of us are going to fast.
Mm.
And so even that communication is quite admirable. Like I say, most of us, we have a need, but we fail to communicate effectively such that even the other person is left wondering, what is it that this person wants from me? And then I admire her determination to see this thing over.
Yeah.
The wonderful line she says, if I perish, I perish. Hey. Wow. That is courage coming from a young girl. Yeah. That is perseverance coming from a young girl. So even in life, there are certain things that we need to say, this one thing I do, I'm going to do it. If I perish, I perish. But we know that because we are Christians, when God has placed a dream on our hearts and when God has given the direction for our lives, we need not fear.
Yeah.
Because he will never place a challenge upon you unless he provides a way out. But most times, I'm sorry to say, we are so scared. How can God do this? How can he send me? Maybe it's not God. You know, those doubts. But yes. Here is a young girl who says, if I perish, I perish.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is definitely inspirational because I, even at my grown age, I don't know if I could actually do that, if I could stand up so strongly for my own beliefs and say, you know, whatever happens, happens. God will deal with the consequences. I'm just going to be submitted to him. I'm going to obey him wherever he leads me. I will follow. If I die, I die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is definitely that strength. Now, what about Ruth? How do we, what lessons do we learn from her loyalty and her faithfulness? How do those provide a model for relationships today?
Well, Ruth being my namesake,
yes,
you can be sure that my father picked the name from the Bible. So she's my favorite character.
Mm-hmm.
And but of course, some of the things she did, I say, oh dear Ruth, because here is a situation where her loyalty is tested. These are foreigners; they've come to their land. She gets married, and the husband dies. What are you going to do in a strange land with strange customs, strange things happening around
her? Go home, Ruth. Go home.
But for Ruth. Mm-hmm. Home is here among your people. You are safe.
Yeah,
but not this Ruth. She remained loyal, and that is one thing I admire, her loyalty to her mother-in-law. She loved her mother-in-law when the mother-in-law was able to provide her with her husband. And I think she said, why should I abandon her now? Why should she go back alone, empty-handed to wherever she's going back? And so that loyalty demanded courage, demanded, you know, an extra kind of faith because she didn't even know where she was going. She made that declaration, your God will be my God, your people shall be my people. Which people? But that loyalty of saying, if you can survive, my dear mother-in-law, then I can survive too. And look at her loyalty even to God, this God who she doesn't know. But she just has that faith to say, if my mother-in-law is going to be led by this God, and if she has so much faith, so am I. So she's riding on the faith of her mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't even know this God. I mean, apart from what she has seen or heard from, you know, from her mother-in-law, and maybe probably her father-in-law when he was still alive, and her husband.
Yeah.
And then Ruth also... She remains loyal even in her actions.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when they get back to her mother-in-law's land, she doesn't start behaving like, what am I doing here? Why did I come here?
Mm-hmm.
But she obeys implicitly every instruction that her mother-in-law is giving her.
Mm-hmm.
And she is willing to do whatever it is that she has to do in order for them to survive.
Yeah.
You know, Naomi came back to nothing. And so when she asks Ruth, go and glean in a field, that was hard work.
Yeah.
But she says, if this is what it will take for me to survive in this land, I am going to do it. And then also, we see that, I mean, the instruction that she's given, she's taking on a culture that she doesn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Go and lie at the feet of who does that? You know, it may have been so strange to her to go and lie at the feet of a man
this man
in the night, But then she just undertook that tradition that was there. And of course, for them, really, it was not strange for Boaz to wake up and find a, you know, a young woman. But Ruth didn't know all those things. And yet she just said, I have chosen this life. This is what I am going to do. And we see that maybe she still had that loyalty even to her late husband. She didn't want to let her mother-in-law down.
Yeah, yeah.
So she had promised, I'll look after, you know, the, whatever remains of the family. And so we see now how this loyalty is rewarded. She ends up in the book of Matthew, chapter 1. And Ruth begat. She ends up as a great grandfather to the great grandmother to
Jesus,
to King Jesus. Yo. And so we see that even for us as modern women now, our going may be tough, our going may be rough, but if we remain loyal to the calling that God has placed upon our lives, and indeed he has placed a calling upon each life, mm-hmm. if we remain faithful, who knows the rewards that are going there? We may end up, well, maybe amongst the 144,000, who knows?
Who knows?
And so we see that once we remain loyal to the calling that God has placed upon us, there's joy, there's peace, there's also, you know, a way that we're going to leave a legacy.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Ruth was not planning on, let me go with my mother, and then I'll end up, and then I'll end up being a grandmother to no. Jesus. No.
Yeah, yeah.
Her plan was just to do the next thing right.
Yes.
Just do the next thing right. That's all. The next step, I'll do it right. The next step, I'll do it right.
Yeah.
She didn't know where it was going to lead to. But God was faithful.
I love that. I love that idea of just do the next thing right. Sometimes when you think of the bigger picture, it can be overwhelming. You'd be like, yo, how far is this? How far is this God trying to take me? What? I can't do all that. That's too much.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just focus on the next step, just focus on that next step. I love that. Let's talk about Deborah.
Yeah.
This is this one is one that I look up to for sure. But what can we learn from Deborah's role as a judge and as a leader in Israel?
Okay, the first thing that I love her too, but to be a prophetess in these olden times must have been a great challenge.
Yes,
you know, because Judges is so near Genesis when women have been, you know, they are being put down as you caused us, you caused the fall, what good can come out of it. But there is Deborah. And, you know, ultimately what we all admire is her effective leadership and courage. Because her story really evolves around working with working with men.
Yes.
Men who should be stronger, men who should be leading out, men who should be there in the forefront. Because she's a prophetess. She just needs to hear from God and give out instructions. But when we meet her in Judges chapter 4, she's there giving an instruction to a general.
Mm-hmm.
On the plan that God is going to use to bring about victory for his people. And then the general declines and says, well, if you are not going with me, I won't go.
Going.
She's a prophetess. She's not a soldier. You are the one who has been trained for leadership. She said, but why should you be pleading for a woman to go with you? And there in comes in some humility. Can you imagine now if a general in the army is asking a woman, well, if it was me, there would be that thing of, so you can't do without me. You mean you can't really do this thing without me? But look at how Deborah handles the whole thing with total humility. And so it means even us, especially us as women, even when we are called upon to do extraordinary duties to enhance maybe even the kingdom of God. It is to have that courage to accept that you are depending entirely upon God.
Amen. Amen.
Even when a decision is being made and they are asking for your input.
Yeah.
Just like Deborah, it is not to show that you can't do without me.
Yes.
No, God is asking us to collaborate, to work together. a little courage there, a little patience there, a little resilience there, and together, because ultimately the battle is the Lord's. Amen. And whatever victory we are going to have, it will be attributed to God's intervention in our lives. And even Deborah, this is why she was met with success, because she trusted in the plan God had for her. She explained everything. She heard from God directly, go with 10,000 men and victory. The other army was not weak, but Deborah trusted that. In fact, I'm sure even this is why she says, okay, I'll go with you. But then there is a clause to Sisera, because she says, now, the glory that should have been yours will not be yours now. It will go to the other, to a woman. But this general, he said, it doesn't matter. Let's just go. All we want is to have victory.
Yeah.
And now, look at what happens after the battle is won. Of course, it happens just like God, said it would happen. The battle is won. There is just a woman who does the unthinkable.
Yes.
In the name of Jael, and kills the arch enemy. But then when we listen to the song of Deborah, as it is recorded in chapter 5, I'm amazed, because Deborah is all out praising God, thanking God, and even attributing success to all those who helped her.
Not herself.
That is such a rare quality. She removes herself from the picture and, you know, attributes all the glory to all those who planned it out. So she knows this teamwork and knows that no one succeeds alone.
Amen.
No one person can do life alone. And this is an admirable quality, because this is so rare even for us. No, without me, they wouldn't have done it.
Yes.
You know, I did all the plans. I did all the shan. I did everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you didn't do everything. People contributed, just like Deborah is attributing her success, even to Sisera, to God, especially to God, and then to Jael. Because ultimately, what is uplifting is that prophecy that God gave her has come to pass because the prophetess is obedient.
Amen.
I love that about Deborah.
Love it. Very, very inspirational. And then Mary, of course, we can't talk about inspirational women in the Bible and not talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus. How does she inspire humility and trust in God's plan?
Wow, Mary, just a young girl. And who receives a message to do something that has never happened before. It is easy when they say bake a cake. Cakes have been baked before. It is easy when they say make a gown for a choir.
Yeah.
It has been done before.
You know what to expect.
But have a child.
Yeah.
That was a strange request. But Mary is quick to say, let it be done to your maidservant. As you know, she amazes me. I mean, there are many women who have done great things, but this one, because look at the risk that she faced.
Yes.
First of all, she risked being stoned to death. She risked being disowned by her family. She risked being denied by Joseph. Did she know even what risk she was going to go through?
Sure.
But you know, she said, I heard from God, so this must be okay for me. And wow, she accepted it.
Wow.
And like you say, maybe many of us have not even reached our potential. We have not achieved our potential because of the fear of what will people say. Yeah. And someone can say which people. But for Mary, it was just about what God wants me to do. So there's that faith, there's that trust.
Yeah.
And then there's the humility. You know, throughout all the ages, up to the time that Mary is pregnant, all the women were looking forward to having a boy who would be the savior of the world. No wonder men were, what are we expecting? Is it a boy or a girl? Boy, oh, this could be Jesus.
It could be the Messiah.
Girl, yeah. The Messiah is going to be a man. It's not going to be a girl.
Yeah.
And so maybe we have even adopted that in many cultures, really. The one woman who has many girls, even though sex is determined by men,
yeah,
is looked down upon. And the one who has got
boys
is upheld.
Yeah.
And so, because I think it is true that everyone was thinking this pregnancy must be the Redeemer. This pregnancy must be the Redeemer. But look at God's choice, a lowly girl who really, according to the history that we know, even as Mary read, we are shocked. How could God choose a young girl like Mary?
Hey.
But that is God. His wisdom is above us.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I love the humility of Mary. She heard from the angel. The angel told her, this is the savior of the world. Can you imagine?
Mm.
In modern times, what would that mean? I mean, even me, I have a son who is aspiring to be a president someday in the very far future. And sometimes I behave like he's already president. Now, here is a Mary who has been told in no uncertain terms that you are carrying the Savior, the very boy, the very child who everyone has been looking forward to have. And she's humble. And then the picture I love is when she goes to Elizabeth. Elizabeth is much older than her.
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth is going to bear John, the forerunner. In other words, one who would be, you know, I mean, John himself declared, he who comes, you know, he is the one I'm preparing the way for.
Yes, yes.
So when you look at the two women, Mary really should have been the, you know,
yes,
you know,
yes,
the baby you're having, Elizabeth.
Yes.
Yeah, he's going to prepare the way for my son.
Mine is the VIP.
Mine is the savior. Yours is the forerunner.
Mm.
But look at Mary. She is the one who travels even to that place to go and see Elizabeth. She doesn't say, no, let Elizabeth come because me, I'm the mother of the savior.
Mm.
She is the one who takes up that journey. And even when she gets there, she's willing to sit at the feet of Elizabeth and listen to her counsel. Mm. That is humility.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
And we see that really Elizabeth does her part.
Mm-hmm.
Gives her all the counsel that she needs, gives her all the advice. She's older, she knows. Gives her all the advice that she needs. And they meet and under a common ground because all of them, their pregnancies are by the, you know, authority of the Holy Spirit. But still, like I said, Mary really humbles herself to say, yes, she is older, but Elizabeth also accords her the respect and the honor that is due to her. Again, this is a lesson because some of us who are older would expect that that the younger ones should do is submit, do what I say.
Yeah.
But here is a younger girl who comes with this humility, and yet Elizabeth still puts her in her place, but also upholds her position as the older of the two.
Mm.
And is willing to hold her hand, guide her. I mean, Mary has never, you know, she has never seen this thing before. But Elizabeth is wiser because she has served the Lord longer than her.
So
it means even for us who are older and they are younger children, in fact, this is why James says maybe, let us guide them. But then in our guiding them, we shouldn't think we are wiser or not too much.
Yeah.
There's a lot we can learn
right. From
those who are younger than us.
Yes. Yes.
So it means for us to do that, you need to humble yourself and get down to that level and say, I lose nothing by sitting down and listening to this younger person talking.
Mm.
And we see that in all these things, Mary had surrendered. She had surrendered to God's will 100%. Because there is no stage in the life of Jesus where Mary is honored. Oh, there's the mother of Jesus. Wow. Look at how she is. Look at the beautiful house they have.
That's true.
Oh, there's the mother of Jesus. Then she did not have that honor.
Sure.
She was, you know, they still continued on a carpenter's salary.
Mm.
And one morning, Jesus was gone.
Yo.
She just hears, oh, he's now being baptized. He's now being crucified.
Yo.
That was the life she led. Because even for her, she had to look up to Jesus as a savior.
Yes.
She didn't go up there and say, hey, me, I'm your mother. You know, let me have the extra salvation, you know, this thing. She never had any favors because she was the mother to Jesus.
Yeah. And you can
the only favor I see is when... only favor I see is when Jesus is hanging.
Yes.
He is dying.
Yes.
And then he looks at his mother and says, oh, she's remaining all alone. Hey, John, she assigned someone to watch over her until her death.
Oh,
and the Bible
man.
Does tell us that. And John took up that responsibility.
Yeah.
So he was a good son. But guess what? We're in the upper room. Mary also had to receive the Holy Spirit if she was going to be an effective disciple.
Sure.
So there were no favors at all.
Oh, man.
And she was the son, the mother.
That's powerful.
To Jesus.
That's powerful. You know, I'm thinking about
but
the fact.
She had to go through even accepting him as a personal savior, even going through the receiving of the Holy Spirit. She went through all that.
Yeah. I'm thinking about the fact that she,
and so,
even though she gave birth to him, she raised him and all of that, that the whole time.
Yeah.
She knew that she could not hold on tightly to him. He did not belong to her.
Mm-hmm.
She knew that he's here on assignment. He is here to save the world.
Yes.
He's not here for me. He's here for all of us.
Mm-mm.
And I can imagine how that must be for a mother, because she went through all the things that you go through in pregnancy. She gave birth to him. She raised him and all of that, but also still recognizing that this is the savior of the world. And that's incredible.
And even when she tried to interfere a little bit at the wedding at Cana, she says, they have no wine. And then Jesus gives that special answer. But she still goes and says, whatever he tells you, do it. And I think that is the last time we hear Mary, you know, behaving like a mother, so to speak. And even that was, I think, just inspired. She had that responsibility of pushing him and heralding him and introducing him, you know, in the ministry that he was meant to do. And then she withdrew and just kept her place. There's a line that says, and Mary kept these things in her heart.
Mm.
She didn't go babbling around, you know, Jesus today, you know, he went out and recognized the base that he had created. You know, Jesus went out today and he told me that he has even created a strong tree so that the nails that were crucified. Maybe she knew all that, but she did not go about bragging. She kept these things in her heart.
Mm.
She knew her place.
Sure.
And so nowadays, you are a pastor's wife. You are an elder's wife. Hey. It's like we're already in heaven. So we have so much pride in the earthly titles.
They must know.
And the
they
little responsibilities that we must know who I am. I am the pastor's wife. I am the elder's wife. And then what? And like you have said, she also had to get... She had to receive her son the second time. First, she was pregnant with him. Then she had to receive him as her personal savior.
Sure.
So when the son becomes your personal savior, that is true humility.
Such beautiful lessons from all these women.
And also, one last point I think is she knew the importance of family.
Mm.
Much as she could not be mother, well, at least she was mother up to the time. Look at her. I don't know where he is. He is lost.
Mm.
And when he is found, why are you looking for me? I'm doing my father's business here.
Yeah.
And then she just kept this thing in her heart. Up to the time that she could be with him, she allowed herself to be with him. Mm-hmm. But the time that now he took up the role as savior of the world, mm-hmm. like you say, she let go and said, he's not mine.
Mm.
And yet she, you know, she was there looking out also for the for Joseph's children. I'm sure she fed them. She did all this.
Yeah.
And all with total humility. Jesus was in that house. He could have just said, let there be bread, let there be fish, let there be what. But they had to toil like everyone else in Nazareth to find food. And so this quality about her also, and this is why I think she accepted when Jesus told from the cross that behold your mother, behold your son.
Mm-hmm.
She accepted to live in the household of John until her death.
Mm.
Again, that was total humility.
Yeah. Powerful. Powerful. Such beautiful, beautiful lessons from all these women. Beautiful lessons. But how do we then apply them? How do we apply these lessons into our own daily lives in the next minute or two that we have left?
Right. Now, when we look at all these women, and indeed there are other women.
Yes.
I think the best thing we can do as Christians who are now alive is to look at yourself. What are the struggles that you are going through? Be sincere with yourself and say, I'm struggling with pride. I'm struggling with, being short like Zacchaeus. Therefore, I cannot see Jesus.
Yeah.
Just tell yourself, I am short. I cannot see Jesus. So I need to put away all these things.
Mm.
And you go to the Bible. If you are inspired by Esther, do what Esther did. Learn lessons from her. If you are inspired by Deborah, do what Deborah did, because you know that if we follow legacy, the principles that we get from their lives, surely God will grant us the success that we need.
Mm-hmm.
So I think first it is to look within yourself, assess yourself. What is preventing me from experiencing and doing exploits for God? What is preventing? Because all of us know our weaknesses. All of us know where we are lacking.
Mm-hmm.
And we should not wait for other people to tell us. You know, Zacchaeus did not wait for other people to tell him that you are too short.
Yeah, yeah.
He decided on his own that with this height, if I remain on the ground, I won't see Jesus. So let me climb a tree. It was a very shameful decision, by the way. But he said, nonetheless, I am going to do it because I want to see Jesus.
Mm.
And just like from the life of Zacchaeus, we see he was rewarded for his courage to say, let me do something outside the box, out of the ordinary, so that I can see Jesus. So even for us today, all the solutions that we may seek, they are there in the Bible, displayed by the women, the many women who are in the Bible.
Yeah.
You may not be the Proverbs 31 woman, but you can try.
Mm.
And the minute you start trying, you are on the path to success.
Yeah.
Because just like Esther, she was playing around with her friends, playing, you know, whatever they were doing, playing. And then the uncle calls and says, there's a bigger responsibility for you.
Mm, mm.
So for each one of us, we are called out from our mundane and just ordinary lives to come and do exploits for God. What is preventing us? There is an answer, and it's there in the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, my sister. Thank you for coming through and sharing with us these inspirational stories of these women in the Bible. And hopefully everyone out there has been blessed in that. And you can find women in the Bible who can inspire you as well. Please make sure you share those with us on +27734703520. Evangelist Ruth Perry, thank you so much for your time. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Been a pleasure.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.